Welcome to the Story Night podcast, where you hear true stories on a theme, recorded live on stage and without notes. I'm your host, Jessica Holmes. On December 27th, we held Going Home, Stories of Returning. Today, we present two stories from the extended slam at that event, featuring spontaneous five-minute stories from brave souls in our audience who dropped their names in a hat and were then selected at random. First, 15-year-old Gregory Wallingford takes the stage and puts the audience into hysterics with a mouthful of a metaphor in his moral of a story about family homecomings.
I didn't think I was actually getting picked. So many names know I went over. I was like, there's no way I'm going to get picked for this. I was just, oh, man, there's a lot more people when you stand up here than when you're sitting down there. Well, a couple years ago, my mom and my dad sat me and my brother down, and we had a little bit of a talk. They asked us if we wanted to move to Boise. The whole incentive was there's more here to do, and we have an uncle and aunt and two little cousins growing up. And so we agreed, and about a year later, we moved out, arrived here on July 13th. My dad stayed back working and kind of dragged his feet. So 4 years ago, we moved out here to beautiful Boise, Idaho, stayed in my aunt's basement, stayed at people's houses, we watched it, got a rental house, and moved into another house across the street where I'm living now. But every year during the summer while we're out of school, we like to go back and visit the family, you know, because that's where my mom's brothers live and her grandparents. My mom's brothers are actually neighbors, Uncle Ross and Uncle John. They live right next to each other in beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana, back east. It's a nice long flight, and we haven't gotten stuck yet. It's in the summer. And every single year, I'm not completely amazingly excited to go back because, truth be told, I don't love going to see all my old friends and family. I do like seeing them, though. It's fun to go, you know, get on a plane and fly, look out the window and see, hey, you're tiny down there, man. I'm all the way up here. It's good to fly back, and I'm reluctant to go. But every single time I go, I'm happy I've gone. Because it's nice to go back and see, you know, the people who your parents grew up with, mainly my mom, and see who they've turned into. And throughout the years, if we've gone back, three times. Every single time, it's not exactly the same. First year we came back, there was a party and a pretty big storm. This last year when we came back, I don't think very much things exciting happened. I think we went somewhere else to eat and kind of hung out. I do remember, though, swimming in my uncle's pool for like 3 hours every day. And that was just grand. And one day, we had, you know, a little family reunion. My mom's cousins came in, and all the family was there. All my aunts and all my cousins were there, and they're mostly off in school now. You know, they're all 4 or 5 years older than us. We were all around and just sitting at my uncle's house, you know, talking to each other and having a good time. And it was really nice to see everybody there who my mom had grown up with around and hung out with and spent her younger years with. And as I was there, I kind of started to realize that there was a lot more that I could learn from this than just sitting around and getting some dang good food. I could really learn from these people who were, you know, 40 years older than me or so. Now, I don't want to try and turn into a 40-year-old when I'm only 15, but I've learned some things from old people somehow. I've had to go to school for quite a few years, so I guess they're smart. I don't know. They tell me what to do every single day. It's a grand old time. And I especially like talking with my grandparents, because they're just a wealth of knowledge. They've been around for so long, and they know my parents better than I've ever known them. And my dad hates watching TV. I mean, public television is the only thing we can give him to watch for more than 20 minutes without him telling us that this is just complete crap. And so we were talking to my grandmother one day, and we were just sitting there. Talk was getting dry, and we asked her if somehow it came across if he watched a lot of TV when he was young. And she confided to us that he was glued to the tube. Every single time it would come on, he was just... Did you see that? That guy on there, he's talking. He's like New York or something. I'm here sitting in Chicago. And we've kind of figured out that, you know, you've worn yourself out. He's worn himself out from watching TV so much. Sitting around all time, wasting his days. Someone's calling me now. I'm going to open my phone. Close my phone. Kid just, I texted that kid yesterday and he texted me back now. It's like a 24-hour thing here. Must be in Guatemala or something texting me. I don't know what's going on. But I've come to find that we have a lot of time in this world and we don't want to wear ourselves out on all the little things like watching TV. You got to spend your time everywhere. You got to spend your time listening to music, riding your bike. Terrible at art, but you should try it. Some people like it, I don't know. Because if you spend too much time doing one thing, is that a warning to me? 5 minutes? Oh, it's the 5 minute mark. Okay, I'll tell the moral of the story now. Since I'm burning up airtime here. The moral of the story is that we've got a lot of time in this world, and we've got a little bit of time in this world. And we need to take that big piece of bread time, as I'm going to explain it, and I'm going to get a little bit of peanut butter and just wrap it on here, a little bit of jelly, wrap it on there, a little bit of butter, put it on there. And I'm not going to eat all of the peanut butter at one time because I've got jelly and butter, which is really good on the other side. And the whole idea is this bread is all the experiences you're going to gain in this life. It's all the experiences you're ever going to get. And if I eat this bread all right now, it's not going to taste as good as it does in 5 minutes. Same with the butter or the jelly, which I have to wait to get to in the middle. So, lo and behold... I've wrapped this on for about 20 minutes now. You got to spread time. You got to... What am I getting at here? I didn't really think this through. Just about, like, 30 seconds. Let me just think this through. Don't waste all your time eating the peanut butter because on the other side, there's a good, thick line of butter. Thank you.
Next, we hear from story slammer Mary Luzinski, who finds home in the air and all the compelling places to land.
I'm going to get up here and tell a story because my friend said I should. She's tired of hearing all my stories, I think. What happened is that I was a flight attendant for a very long time, and I was doing it during the good times, you know, where you went off on adventures, this sort of thing. Well, you didn't get home very often. You planned on being home for Christmas, but of course it snowed or it earthquaked or something always seemed to get in the way. I don't know. But one year, my roommate decided... This was when I was in Miami. I've been based a lot of places. Okay, we decided we're going to go to her home for Christmas. And we had it all figured out. Of course, we were on strike at the time, so that was a little bit of a problem. No one likes you, really, when you're on strike, and they don't give you the free goodies you're used to. Okay, we decided we can't afford presents, so what we'll do is we'll make up some kind of costume. So we made antlers out of paper mache, and we really thought we were pretty cool with this whole idea. We were going to come out on Christmas morning with this whole costume. We did, and it was fairly effective. But then we were going to go on and go home. Well, we didn't want to leave our antlers at home for some god reason. I don't know. Why can't you leave paper mache antlers behind? We couldn't. So we packed him in our suitcase, but then we got to the airport at Boston, and we checked him. But then we decided it would be fun not to go on the flight, to go to New York. see a friend instead. So we said, well, we left our bags. That's good. We don't really need them. And we went to New York on the train. Well, the next thing we know, we get back to Miami. The police are after us. Oh, God. That was right when they were really getting afraid of terrorism. And what was amazing is that I kept asking him, do you want the keys to the suitcase to check what was inside? Well, of course, they'd already opened it. They knew. They didn't need a key to get into it. Yeah, I have a police record. It's quite amazing, but how quickly you can get it. And it's so embarrassing. It's so embarrassing when they say to you, okay, what was in the suitcase? And you go, my antlers. Oh, you know, these, you have to be honest. But anyway, always going home was all, yeah, there always was something there that was a problem. Getting on the flight, whatever. I like the one when we weren't on strike. Has any of you ever tried to get a job during a strike? This is quite amazing. No one wants you. Right? I mean, this is really bad. And some of the jobs you have to take, oh, yeah, very bad. But I love it. The another one was when we were on a layover in this fabulous hotel in Fukuoka in Japan. Beautiful. It's like, okay, minimalist art, where you have the materials and it's smooth. It goes from wood to marble. Okay, water. Oh, I mean, there it's gorgeous. And, of course, it's so classy. There aren't any really signs to let you know where anything is, so you have to kind of feel it out. Well, we went to bed. Okay, you get up the next morning. You're so tired, but you know all the restaurants are downstairs and breakfast. So you go down there, and I loved it. I'm still half asleep. My feet were so wet, though. They kept getting so wet. Well, you keep going, what the hell? You know? Finally, you see the waiters running at you with napkins, and you go, oh, God, what is this? Okay, they're wonderful serenity ponds, right? Those ones that you're not supposed to be stepping in. And it's awful because, you know, it's so beautifully in a row like that. Yeah, yeah. I stepped in the serenity pond, and everything was all wet, and they were running after me. But that was before another trip home. But it's very interesting when you're out there on the road a lot, trying to get somewhere for Christmas, because everybody's going somewhere. So it was great being like an orphan. People would invite you, because you'd be out there in the middle of nowhere, and they'd invite you home. So it was fun. You met all kinds of people and had great experience. And that's it for mine. Sorry.
Thank you for listening. Story Night is brought to you by presenting partner the Boise State Story Initiative, venue partner the Lennon Building, design partner Neighborhood All-Stars, and our broadcast partner, Boise State Public Radio. Please donate now at radio.boisestate.edu. Our Story Night theme is by Dan Costello. Hear more at hearcostello.com. Please join us next week for an exclusive teaser story to preview our January 31st event, Hooked, Stories of Cravings and Compulsions. Learn more at storystorynight.org.